Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And welcome to our Oscar Rewind series, where we go through the Best Picture nominees and give our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. This season, we've done 2012. What fucking year are we on? God damn it. Sorry.
We're on the last episode.
Our last episode. And I just blanked. I didn't write it down. My bad. Today, we are discussing The Artiste. Which is about a silent film star who develops a relationship with a dancer against the backdrop of the end of Hollywood's silent era. Starring Jean Dujardin, Bernice Bejo, John Goodman, directed by Michelle, I'm going to butcher it, I'm sorry, Hanavicius. Shoes.
I told you it sounded like shoes.
Right. You were right.
Michelle Hanavicius.
Michelle Hanavicius, thank you. Along with Best Picture, it is nominated for Best Actor, Jean Dujardin. Best Director, Michelle Hanavicius. Best Costume Design, Mark Bridges. Best Original Score, Ludovic Bourse. I'm sorry, I don't know the Baltic languages. I'm sorry. Best Supporting Actress, Bernice Bejo. Best Original Screenplay, Michelle Hanavicius. Best Film Editing, Michelle Hanavicius. Best Cinematography, Guillermo. So sorry. And Best Production Design for Lawrence Bennett. 10 nominations total, 5 wins. This is The Artiste. I promise I'm not drunk, y'all. I just can't read and pronounce things right now.
She's drunk off her ass. She's swaying back and forth.
I'm drunk off of happiness because I'm with my two best friends and we're doing what we love.
That's so corny. I love it.
I know. Do you want some cheese in that corn?
Oh, by the way, this is the artist, right?
I did say that.
Oh, did I call
it Artiste in a French accent?
Well, Artiste, yes. I don't understand French, so sorry, my bad.
Oh, okay. I don't speak French because obviously I butchered a lot of things.
I hate both of you. I'm striking out solo. Catch me on my new podcast. I have thoughts.
Oh my god, that's a great question. Like, if we would have our own podcast, each of us, what would it be about?
Mine would be bitch in different inflections.
Yes!
Mine would be a soft fire.
Oh, she got artistic and poetic with it. Okay.
It's me, the cancer.
Oh my god, a baby.
Mine would be like things that annoy me.
That sounds
right. Capricorn.
Things that annoy me today.
So please, guys, go listen to our spinoff podcast where we will just talk to ourselves like we do most of the time.
Right. We'll talk to the people in the mirror.
There you go. So what did we think of The Artist? And is this everyone's first time, second watch, third time?
This is my first watch. And if I'm being honest, I was very underwhelmed.
Oh. Wah, wah, wah.
I think because it's been hyped for over 10 years, you know, I went into it with high expectations. There was a lot of things I really appreciated and really liked about the film, but overall, I felt like it was just okay with some, I don't want to say gimmicky because I don't think it was gimmicky. But, like, what made it special? I don't know what I'm saying. I think I literally just watched the words fly out of my head.
We saw them too, yeah.
Yeah, you see them flying around back there?
Be careful, a rocket's going to go chase after them.
And I'm too tired to try and catch them. So I'll just say I was underwhelmed.
Righty. Crystal.
So this is my second time watching it. I watched it in the theaters. I was really intrigued. This was when I was, like, really starting to watch Oscar movies. And I took my brother with me, who was 13 at the time, 12 or 13. I was even surprised he wanted to go. So that was, like, the start of our... Because we'd always connected music-wise, but this is our start of our, like, movie connection. That wasn't just, like, a Marvel movie. And so we had, like, so many questions about, like, silent movies and all that other stuff. And it was really... So for that, it's a really awesome experience for me. I can totally see why Anna's saying it's underwhelming. Because the story itself is very simple. I think if it didn't have the quote-unquote gimmick of a silent film, it would be way less engaging. But I think what saves it is the charisma. Jean Dujardin and Bérénice Bejou are fantastic. And the music is so good, as it should be for a silent film. Those two things save it. And also, like, a silent film, because they're not speaking, obviously, it kind of has to be simple, because then it feels true. First of all, because it feels true to those type of films. It's true to the time period, the 1920s. So it kind of makes sense. So that's why sometimes, like, I remember watching movies, like, way back then when I was younger, thinking they're so boring. It's just because they're so simple. So, but I can completely see why someone would be like, this is kind of basic. Because honestly, the rewatch, I was like, this is good. But why did I like it so much the last time? I don't remember. And it was listening to the score just isolated. Just the score and nothing else made me, like, love it even more. Because the dimensions in the score are so good. Oh my God. So good.
Yeah, we've said it before in other films where the score is a character, but this one, it really is a main character, and it does so much of the heavy lifting. It really is so integral to the story. I can see why it won. It deserved the win. I loved it.
Yeah, I think that I'm pretty much in agreement, just because I can see all the technical things that it did really, really well, like the cinematography, the score, the acting. I think it's another one of those films, like, hate to be the one to bring it up, but like La La Land, where it's definitely a pretty, like, cut and dry homage to a certain time period, to a certain, like, film, certain kind of film. And so I could see how, had this premiered, like, back in that era, obviously it would have been, like, amazing. And I think especially compared to the group of films that were nominated this year, I can see how this is so, like, fresh and exciting and new. And I can definitely see why it won. I do think that... as much as I really enjoyed the performances, and these two have, like, charisma dripping from their fingers, which is necessary with a silent film, I do think at some times it was a little over the top, but I think that was done on purpose. Mm-hmm. So I understand, because obviously they got to convey a lot of story and a lot of emotions with zero words. So I get it. But it's still, like, it was just... it felt very much like just like an homage, like, oh, I'm going to make a silent movie in the year of, you know, 2012. And this is it. It did it really successfully. And again, in that year, this was like kind of like a breath of fresh air. But I don't know that I'm like super like, wow, like this is the best thing that year. But it is pretty great.
It's funny that you bring up La La Land, because that final scene where they're dancing is almost like exactly like that. One of my notes is like, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone could never.
No, because that dancing was amazing.
It was fantastic. Like, it's, I can totally see Damon Chazelle being like, oh, I want to make a movie, but like a modern version of this. It's kind of what if, like, it felt very like, maybe not copy, no, copy paste. I think so. Yeah, copy paste.
Well, and to be fair, there was parts of this that were copy and pasted from older silent films. And just older classic films. So,
yeah. Well, I guess, everything, much like with music, everything's a sample of something else. Like, it's all, there's nothing new under the sun. So, as the saying goes.
Yeah. My thing is this has been done before. We've seen, silent films had their time. So, if you're going to bring it back, elevate it. And I feel like, yeah, introducing the bits of sound in those scenes, which that scene in his dream I thought was really great. The sound was really awesome. But I just feel like they could have made the story a bit more complex and a bit more elevated because it's 2012. Like, we have the technology. We have the, like, we understand film enough for there to be a deeper story. And we could have followed it, I think.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though. I mean, he made a movie honoring those movies, and if that's what he wanted to do, he did it.
Yeah, and he did it. Did it well. Like, I mean, I think the only thing really was the thing that was like really lacking for me was the writing, because like even me, who is not good at predicting what's happening next in a movie or a TV show or whatever, I was like, okay, so the next beat is this, and then she's gonna see him there, and then he's gonna want to talk to her, and then, you know, they're gonna fall in love, and then, oh, she's driving, and it's gonna do like a fake out, and, you know, she's gonna hit the tree. It was just very predictable to the point where like it wasn't, It was distracting. It was distracting. If it was, I get it, a basic story, but if it's to the point where I'm like, I know what's happening next and my eyeballs are enjoying this, but like my brain is like a little, like I need a little bit more engagement there.
Good Lord. My mouth has forgotten how to function in connection to my brain.
This is the greatest episode we've ever recorded in our lives.
It's so silent. Like the film.
Yeah, you have to watch the video version to see my real thoughts and feelings. And it's mostly dismay. How do we feel about
making this a video podcast? Would anybody watch that? Probably not.
I don't think anyone would watch it. And then I would feel pressure to, like, look nice.
Girl, you look nice right now.
Yeah, you look great. I thought you'd look really cute. Your skin looks good.
I got a spit up stain on my
girl. We cannot see that all the way over here.
Girl, I got pizza grease on my shirt. It's fine.
My shirt has holes in it, so I mean,
see, we're all the same.
We're made for video.
Equality is new.
Clearly. Oh, I don't know if y'all saw. I don't know if you actually go back and look at the posts, but I linked our first video, Joy, and it's us talking about Big Little Lies. It's hilarious.
Oh my God.
And it's in the house. I think it's so cute because the backdrop is the Anna's shelf.
Yes. Oh my God, in the house. Oh, such great lighting. That bay window. Oh, I miss that.
Bay window.
It got real hot, but it was beautiful.
It did.
Worth it. Worth it. And that little picnic table we had out there. Nice.
But then the killer ants that like in the mutant grass.
That's true.
Oh my God.
The mutant grass and those ants, man. That was a lot.
That was intense.
I remember what I was going to say.
I'd do it again. Okay.
You remembered and then you forgot.
What is happening to me? Am I okay?
I actually saw that leak. I really did. In real time, I saw it leak. That's fantastic.
I was holding it. I was holding it. And then I looked down and it was gone. Hold on. We were talking. Oh, creepy, creepy. I felt like the love story was a little creepy.
Oh, okay.
Like the way she stalked him.
Oh, yes.
And then she bought all his shit and hid it away. And I was like, yeah, dude, I'd run for the hills too.
I just wanted to support you on the thing. Okay, so in the beginning when she's like, hold on, let me look at my notes. Let me refer to what I'm looking at here. So when you said it was creepy, her like going through his stuff. Okay, fine. I kind of get that. But if you had the chance to go into your favorite actor's dressing room, wouldn't you be nosy too?
Oh, of course. That's not the part I'm talking about. I'm talking about at the end when he discovers that she bought all his shit.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. But I thought like, maybe in my head.
We did.
In my head, I changed it to like, maybe she bought it so like he could have his stuff later. Like,
that's what I thought too. Although
I think it was obsession.
I wanted to take care of you.
The music who's made it seem like it was like a whole.
Yeah, that's like, true. And I was, I even thought like, this music doesn't fit. What is he doing?
My note says true love or creepy. We saw her with his suit earlier because she was like feeling herself up in his suit. And then
again,
like,
she if you got to walk
shit.
Into Oscar Isaac's dressing room and put your arms in his jacket, wouldn't you?
But then if he wakes up in my home and I have all of his shit, that's fucking creepy.
Oh my god! Get a lock on the door, bitch. That's what you should be getting.
Or if he goes through,
I brought him in.
Yeah, to keep him forever. It's called marriage.
Creepy.
Okay. Marriage is creepy. Okay. Next question.
Marriage is creepy. Why do people do that? That's weird.
Anyways, let's not get into that right now.
Be too much.
Says the three single women.
This is why we don't do marriage.
Never been married. Creepy. What do we know? For all your marriage advice, come to us. We know everything.
Look, we're so
witnesses. We know by secondhand experience.
We know what not to do.
Exactly.
As a single woman, I've been to enough weddings to know what not to do. So
I think that's a huge reason why I never did the whole high school dating thing is because I watched a certain older sister of mine go through so much drama, and I was like,
you know what? I like to make excuses why that is, but no, I was just a loser. That's the real reason.
Same, but I mean,
also same.
there were a few opportunities, and I was like, oh.
We'll talk about those later. Then tell
Ooh,
me.
I need to know. I need some details. We haven't talked about
that's gonna be on the Patreon, guys. Just wait for that.
His name was Steven. It was a long.
Was his last name Sondheim? You better say Sondheim.
I literally pulled the name Steven out of my ass, but yes, his name was Steven Sondheim, and he sang Sweet Nothings into my ear.
I knew it. Oh my god.
I literally sang a Steven Sondheim song a second ago.
You did! He's in your brain!
Okay, back to the art. The best picture winner.
Yeah.
So creepy love, we're not here for it. We do not encourage.
If it had been reversed and it was him who did that to her, we all would have been like, dude.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. Yeah. It is kind of creepy. I will give you that. But the snooping in his dressing room, girl.
Oh, I'll be all 100%.
And then he caught her. I'm like,
be leaving my hair.
When he caught her, I was like, oh my god, how embarrassing. Ooh. Oh, don't look at him. I just be like, gotta go and like run away.
I would like sprayed some of my perfume in there and be like, to remember me. Like, he'll follow the scent, he'll find me.
Leave my underwear behind. My granny panties.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Anna! Oh my god.
Farther.
Be
said, perfume
dangerous. I love that. I love that for you.
I mean, if we're gonna go, we might as well go. You know,
you might as well go all the way. Yeah.
All the way, you say. Okay, never mind. You guys are invited back to my podcast because I hate myself too.
Oh my god.
This is the dumbest shit we've ever done.
I love it. This is us. This is us, actually.
Not the show.
Not the show, because we're more interesting and funny.
Is that show still on the air or did it end already?
It ended.
Thank god.
It did? Last year?
I'm just kidding. I only saw like the first season. I saw the first season and I thought I watched the second season because I was sick with the flu or something. I was sick from work and I was like, I thought I watched the show for like a solid week, but it was like 3 episodes. It felt so long to me. I was like, I don't know.
It's been 84 years.
That's what it felt like. Anyways,
that's not a good sign.
That's hilarious.
So, a technical achievement. Congrats.
Yeah.
Editing was great. The cinematography, there was one shot in there.
of him pouring the water on the glass table.
So good.
That's the one that made me stop in my tracks. I was like, oh my God, look at this.
Yep.
This is incredible. That's the one that really got me, especially that, like, yeah, that transition was really nice. I don't have a whole lot more, like, I don't have any that really stick out in my brain other than that one, because that one was so good. But I think it's also, like, really interesting. It made me think of another movie that's done in this, like, 4x5 format, which is for photographs. I don't know what it is in film, what this is, millimeter format is in film.
A square. An Instagram square.
Yes, thank you. But it makes me think of, like, all the
with the Willow filter.
Get the fuck out. Oh my God. I can't.
We're so quick today.
Oh my God. It makes me think of all the potential that there is in doing this, it starts with a P, these proportions, this proportion format, and doing it in black and white. And it really, even though they have nothing to do with each other, it made me think of Ida.
Well, that was a great movie.
Which is literally very much like Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Every single shot is a photo. Every image, every frame, everything. Like, you could take the film of that and cut every single frame, and every single frame is a beautiful photograph. And it's framed beautifully, and it's lit beautifully. And a lot of this was that, but I think in the more, like, Hollywood superficial kind of way, which it serves its purpose. But also I'm like, I think I just have really high standards for what you can do with black and white cinematography, since I've seen, you know, Ida, Roma, The Tragedy of Macbeth, since, you know, black and white film in particular in this format had like a renaissance the last couple of years. So it's good, but it's not great. Like, I've seen better, so I'm not gonna give it the cinematography. I still think that should go to Tree of Life.
You know, I'm really sad that we never got to podcast on Portrait of a Lady on Fire or Ida or The Tragedy of Macbeth. Because those three movies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. Maybe just for fun. I am down for watching those again, because I rewatch Portrait of a Lady on Fire every so often.
I haven't rewatched it since that first time.
I think I've only saw it once with Joy, but I turned to Joy when it was over and I go, Joy, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not even joking a little bit.
I remember that.
I was like stunned at how, I could not believe how beautiful it was. Oh my God.
I guess I've technically seen it 1.25 times, because that was the movie I went with you to the theater, right, Joy? And then I had to leave because I couldn't stop coughing.
Oh no.
She was like, in the theater.
I had my seasonal cough and it was just acting up, and it's a quiet film. It's not, and there's not a lot of people in there. So I was like, I'm ruining this experience for people. And so I just went out and sat in the lobby and waited for Joy.
That's really nice of you though, because most people wouldn't like give a shit at all. So
no, I knew it would bother me. So I was like, and I felt uncomfortable. Like, everyone was staring at me and hating me, which was making me hot and making me cough more, so.
I get that.
Anxiety is my friend.
Girl, same.
So wait, did you ever get to, like, fully watch it after that?
Yeah. I watched it during the pandemic, I think, when it came on Hulu.
That's when we watched it. Or I watched it, rather, because Joy had seen it already.
I think, like, April something. Yeah.
I could not believe it. I thought, wow.
Stunning. And I mean, it really, that's what Ida was too, because like, especially in that format, because you have to frame things differently. It was just so, so beautiful. And I still haven't seen Cold War. It's by the same director.
Pablo Pavlovsky or something like that?
Yes, I believe so.
Escobar?
No.
No.
ignore me and throw me away.
Gonna go.
It's been great.
Hit a three-pointer from all the way over there.
My luck, it'll go like airball all the way over.
Hey. But anyway, it's just like I do co-sign on the cinematography being just like a little underwhelmed, considering things that I've seen and the possibilities and the potential that this kind of medium has. Yeah, I just that one shot, incredible. Everything else, good.
Yeah, but I agree. Not
amazing, you know?
I did enjoy the fire. I thought that looked really cool. When the apartment was on fire, it looked like white fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The lighting of that was very, cool. It's very interesting.
Plot question. At the end there, where, you know, Joy was talking about the fake out where she crashes into the tree, and we thought, oh no, he killed himself. And then she comes in and she's like, no. And he goes, I wasn't going to. Like, what are you talking about? And then like throws, like, it was just a joke. I don't understand that.
I didn't read that at all. I read that he was just kind of like, like nervous, I guess.
Like
I don't
nervous
know.
Laughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I read it as, what this? What did you think I was doing? No, you're wrong.
Ha, JK. It's a joke.
You I thought. Don't even know why I'm holding this.
You thought.
Oh my God.
No, I didn't read that at all. It's really funny.
Okay. Again, throw me away. Good night.
I really love your thoughts today. They're kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
They're very enjoyable. Trust me, I'm enjoying them so much.
You know what's funny is I couldn't. Oh, sorry. My notes just kind of went away. I couldn't fake a mole because I probably would put it slightly off like every single time. There'd be pictures and be like, is that? They'd find me out so quick.
No one like, would. Oh, where no.
Oh, if you're on camera and you're that close, like close-ups all the time, they would figure it out.
But like, I don't want to do quality. Like quality was not that good back then, so maybe.
Anna's giving yourself a mole.
Don't make me
do it. Do it.
This is great for a for non-visual medium.
Wait, I can't even see it. Where is it? Oh, I see. You need to put it like more over here so it fits with your face style.
It's too late now.
Doing Sharpie now.
Okay.
Okay, I need to look at my phone instead of the computer.
This really is the best episode we've ever recorded.
I am unhinged. I love it. I'm not even drinking.
Right. Are you drunk? Are you drinking right now?
Put on your fake mole.
No.
Are you high?
Dr. Pepper. I wish. I say I wish. I've done it once. Twice.
Are you under any influence at all?
Dr. Pepper, obviously.
I fucked it up, I made it a line.
When are you getting your
made it a line? Yeah, just do a line. Do an X, like and like X, like a
marks a spot.
Like with hairs
no, what is the not hopscotch? What's the game you play with X's and O's?
Tic-tac-toe. How am I going to become the next Post Malone?
Shut up. First of all, I love that you know who he is. I'm so proud of you.
Oh my God.
He's popular enough that he's in my zeitgeist.
He's a local boy.
Oh my God.
What were you asking? It. He's a local boy?
Yeah, he's a Grapevine. Yeah. Anna, I can't with your fake ass mole.
I took it off.
Oh my God, she's Enrique Iglesias. She took it off.
Joy, what were you asking me about a tattoo?
When are you getting your Dr. Pepper hand tattoo?
Appointments tonight.
Booked.
Oh my God. So stupid. I have a question. Have y'all ever... Are you okay, Joy? She's crying. When she laughs, her screen shakes. So it's like...
We're all laughing with her.
Yeah. Oh no, we she's covering her face up and her eye. She's deceased.
What's your question, Crystal?
Have y'all ever watched a movie with a live orchestra before?
No, but I want to.
Me too.
That would be cool.
Whatever. In the beginning, when the movie is playing and the Jean Dujardin and everybody else, the other actors are behind the screen. That reminds me of when I was a kid. I thought, like, I don't know, like 6 or 7, maybe younger. I thought that people were actually behind the screen. And several times running down to the bottom and trying to peek behind the thing to see if they were there. And I was like, I remember watching cartoons going, well, they're not back there because they're cartoons. And I was just like so confused. I did not understand.
That's so cute.
Like 6, 7 years ago, I took.
You said that?
No, I took my cousins to go see Beauty and the Beast came on tour. So I took Elizabeth and Haley and Michelle, we all four went to go see it. And Haley was very confused. She was maybe 6 or 7. She was very confused that there wasn't a screen and she couldn't quite grasp that those were real people in front of us.
Oh my God.
We were like, nope, they're right there, Haley. Like, that's them. They're on stage. And she was like, I don't get it. It was very cute.
Aww.
That was adorable.
It was.
So this dog, Uggie is his name. First of all, best actor. Right?
Yeah, best supporting actor.
You know what's funny? Okay,
another fucking animal making me cry.
best actor. And he actually, okay, so hold on. I have it here.
He did get nominated?
No, he won. Okay. Damn it.
He won?
Deservedly so.
Where's Okay. So Jean Dujardin won Best Actor at Cannes, and Ucky the Dog won the Palm Dog Award, which celebrates canine performances across the Cannes official selections.
Aw, that's
so he won that award. Thing? Yeah, it's a real thing. And there's one every year. I don't know who won last year, or this past Cannes, because I didn't look it up, but
shut up. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh,
I'm
my God.
I'm legit crying.
Anna's literally sobbing now.
Palm Dog Award.
So, wait. Okay. So, between this dog and the horse, who was the better actor?
Ooh, the dog.
Really?
I don't know. I felt like Joey was more emotional, but Ucky had more to do. You know what I mean? Because Ucky was great, but Ucky had no time where he had to look back, which gave you all the feelings in those brown eyes. Come on now.
Yeah.
Joy was servant looks and serious looks at that. Yes. So, I don't know. That's tough.
I would go with Joey. So, Joey is the subtle, emotional indie performance. And the big showy, blockbustery, Oscar-baity performance.
Yeah, I think, because Uggie was acting. Uggie was doing what he had to do. Because there's no way that he could have get a subtle performance with the movie that was presented.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Uggie did the job right. Uggie did it. Yeah, seriously, best actor. Because...
That's incredible.
Oh, she's crying. What happened? Oh, no. Hands over the mouth.
Oh, no, we killed her. Oh, no.
Oh, Crystal.
The dog in 2016 won posthumously. He died.
2016.
And I didn't even pronounce that word right. He won what? For Patterson. His name or her name was Nelly.
What movie? Oh, Patterson, you just said. Sorry.
Maybe don't read that right now. Yikes. Okay, Crystal, Anna's cried. Your turn.
None of the other ones were dead. It's good. We're okay.
That's not funny. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
Holy shit, that's funny.
So you know when what was her name? Peppy, right?
Yes.
Peppy, whenever she's going to the studio her first like scene and she's like sitting next to this older man. I met that man.
Wait, you did?
That is Malcolm McDowell. He is known, like, best known for A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
And his filmography is really long. So he came, I met, like, very recently, like, last year. He came to get tested at my job. And he was super nice. Yeah, he was like, he was going to, because his, someone is married, his, someone married Lily Collins.
Yeah.
His son did. So he was going to their wedding or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, my daughter, my son's getting married, blah, 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 blah. And he was just talking like normally. And one of the other people were like, you look really familiar. And then he started talking about it, blah, blah, blah. And I recognize him from other things as an older person. Because Clockwork Orange I've seen before, but it was really disturbing to me. So I didn't want to think about that. So I was like, what else is he from?
What's his name?
Malcolm McDowell.
Him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Older stuff. Like,
what else
like
has he done?
As an adult. As an he's older. Some,
he did 4 episodes of Gossip Girl, Joy.
Yes, Roger Lindsay. I was going to say Gossip Girl, the revival.
Anyways, yeah, I met him and he was really nice. So.
I love that for you. Hi, baby.
Hi.
Oh my God.
Any other notes on the artist?
Oh yeah, I have a lot. Okay. Oh, another question, Anna. Can Rocket do any tricks?
Rocket can sit.
Okay, so no, got it.
Oh, he can play soccer.
What?
Okay.
Football. A dog.
I mean, he knows if I say pass it or I can't reach, he'll pass me the ball. He'll kick the ball to me.
Okay.
And I kick it back to him.
Look at you. Did he just kick something at you just now?
No, I was making sure he wasn't like, you want to play it? He's passed out. He's hot and tired. He was the principal in Easy A.
Right.
Uh-huh. I mean, he's done so much. I'm just that.
Yeah.
Photography is huge.
It's very long. But that's what he's best known for is that movie. And but yeah. Anyways, it was really nice. And just kind of talking like openly about like, yeah, I'm an actor. I do these things. Blah blah blah. And because Clockwork Orange is like from the 70s, and everyone who worked there except for me was like young. So he was like, I bet you cats don't even know what that movie is. I was like, oh. He was really nice. He's getting a COVID test. Sweet.
Did you plug our podcast? Oh, you're in movies? I talk about movies for a living.
I don't have a card, but thank you for thinking that.
Should we get a fucking card.
Should we get podcast cards?
Should we get business cards or like stickers?
Oh my God, we should. And then like wherever we go.
We can make them on Canva.
Yeah. And just put them everywhere, like randomly places.
Remember oh my God. When we used to write at places like at the crayon exhibit and one of the art picture things we went to, I think it was
oh my God, you're right.
Robot is something robot? Psychedelic. Yeah.
Our PR department has felt off real bad.
Robot. Well, we've been inside for 2 years.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, I've always been inside, but yeah, okay. Until I met Joy, I was always inside.
I don't know. You went to Meow Wolf without me.
Well, that's because my family. Okay, so we went to Meow Wolf in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And my whole family loved it. And I was like, oh, yeah, me and Eric used to go to these all the time. Me and Anna enjoy. And so when Eric found out they were going to make One Year in Grapevine, he, like, bought tickets for the opening day. Like, he's hardcore. So he got us all tickets to go. And me and Ariana were like, this is great, but there's too many people. We need to come, like.
When there's. It's not
so it was nice, and I want to go back. Maybe like in a couple months, I'll go back when it's not like opening day. But Eric was just so excited; he wanted everyone to go, so we went.
Aww.
It was cool. Yeah,
and it's a simple text: "Hey Anna, we got tickets this day. If you want to come, you should get a ticket."
I didn't know you wanted to come.
You know she always wants to hang out with you.
You want to hang out with my family too? Also, that would actually, I should invite you more. That should help. Because Eric brings all his friends over, and they're fine. But they're stupid boys. I'm like, I don't want to hang out with stupid boys all the time. Like, get out of here. Like, I love Roy. And I like Noah. But, like, that's enough of y'all.
I mean, driving all the way out to Bedford might be one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, meeting up in Grapevine is another.
Okay, sorry. I'll include
just you. Saying. It's nice to be considered instead of forgotten all the time.
Oh, I mean, you don't invite me to your sister's shit either.
She might do the baby shower.
It's out all the way out in McKinney.
Okay, well, I'm in Bedford.
We just sit at the house.
I love sitting at houses. I do it all the time.
Look, you. Whenever you hang out with, whenever Anna hangs out with her family, you can drive to Anna's place and Anna will drive you there. And whenever Crystal hangs out with her family, you can drive to Crystal's place and Crystal will drive you from there.
Joy, that's why I need you in this group. You're the buffer. Otherwise, we would just be also, like bitching at each other all the time.
I tried to invite you to my birthday thing, but you had other plans.
So, I'm seeing my grandmother, okay?
I know, but don't say I don't invite you, bitch.
Don't give me shit about seeing my grandmother.
I'm really? Not. I'm giving you shit about saying I don't invite you places when I fucking do. Hey, you want to
bring that up? Okay. You know what?
Hey, Crystal.
Not looking at you.
Crystal.
Anyways, I'm going to give you my
name. Look at me. You have to look at me right now. I love you.
Bitch! Look at her!
Wow. I have been slighted.
Wow.
I will ever recover from this.
So anyways, the artist.
So what other art did we think about this?
James Cromwell. It's a little fact that I found.
Love him.
I actually found this.
Babe.
What?
Babe.
That'll do, Pip. Yeah. That'll do.
I actually found this fact out when I was looking up things for Succession this past season, but I saved it because I knew we were going to watch The Artist. So James Cromwell is the tallest actor ever nominated for an Oscar.
Shut up. How tall is he?
He is 6'7".
What? God damn it. I love a fun fact.
God. So you said best supporting actor for Babe, right? 1996. That was his tallest actor ever nominated at 6'4". 6'7", sorry. Crazy. Do you know the tallest actor in Hollywood is?
Hold on. I guess.
You probably won't guess. But
Shit.
Is it the dude from The Witch?
I don't know what The Witch is.
Is it one of the Scarface?
He's from a guy. He's from a sitcom from like, I don't know, early 2000s, late 90s maybe.
Oh, the guy from Everyone Loves Raymond?
Oh,
Brad yeah. Garrett at 6'8".
Derby, 6'8"?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I thought everyone else was just short on that show.
Well, they are compared to him.
Even the grandma must be like a giant. This is holy shit.
Yeah, so he's 6. I guess it's his tallest actor in Hollywood. I guess like they're going off like SAG registrations or something. I don't know how they know that. But yeah, he's 6'8".
Show me the SAG card.
I love me dresses with fringe. So everything that she was wearing was gorgeous to me. I love the 1920s aesthetic. I said it when we watched Midnight in Paris. I love that. So pretty. I love the silhouette. Yeah.
Okay. I have a note that we've already talked about, but it's written kind of nicely. And as stupid as I've sounded tonight, I want to sound... I do have smart moments.
Go off, babe.
The story isn't anything spectacular, but its uniqueness is in its novelty.
There it is.
Oh, she had a thought today.
Letterbox.
That was yesterday. and I left it all here on the page. I think spending all day with a 2-year-old rewires the brain for a little bit.
It makes you peppier. I like it. She I always all the time. Too. Yeah. This vibe you got, I like it. I want to drive a car from the 1920s because those look so cool to me.
I don't know how to drive six shifts, so I'm fucked.
Which I'll talk at the same time.
I said the doors freak me out. Because they open the wrong way.
I don't know how to drive a stick
when,
shift.
When you open your car,
oh, I don't either.
The hinges go to your left. They go to the right. I don't know how to drive stick either, but it's on my list of things to do in case I get trapped with a murderer.
Well, I've
learned how to do.
Three or four different people in my life every so many years try to teach me, and every time, I can't do it. I try to learn in high school, 5 years later again with, like, a friend, another 5 years later with my dad, and another five. So every 5 to 10 years, I try to learn, and I can never get it.
Do you have access to a vehicle?
Yeah, I think my sister's car sticker, someone's.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
Would they let me borrow it?
I don't know.
I'm desperate, like, that's all I asked for my dad for my birthday, like, last year.
That's adorable.
I was like, no, I want to, I said, to I learn, want to learn how to drive stick, but you can't like rent a stick. Most of them, most places don't have them. Yeah, no,
not anymore.
And then you can't rent to learn.
Oh.
So he looked and looked and looked, and he's like, the best, the only way we can do it is if we know somebody who drives a stick.
I'm pretty sure one of them does, or because my dad just has cars everywhere. He might. So I'll see. I'll look around. But everyone in my family, even my siblings know how to drive a stick, and I do not. I've tried. I really have tried. But, like, I can't. The feet and the... my brain breaks.
It's like, you know how they're like pat your head and rub your stomach? I can't do that, and that's what driving a stick feels like.
I could do that when I'm driving now.
I fuck it
you
up.
Can join my lesson with my dad, and maybe his instruction will.
Maybe. I mean, I'm due for another a lesson. It's
been... He made me cry when I was learning to drive, so.
Well, you cry all the time, so it's really not a... Speaking from a fellow crier, baby. Like... Peace.
Sometimes it's confusing left and right, okay?
Yeah. You know what it's confusing? Life.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going to lay my head down on my mic. She just threw me away again.
So, yeah, I do want to drive a car from there. So, I'm not married. Obviously.
What?
So, I'm not sure. I'm not married, so I'm not sure. But I think when your spouse tells you that you're unhappy, your response probably shouldn't be, so are a million of us.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of great.
I was like, dang. Also, okay.
Homegirl woke up, put on her little robe or whatever, and heels to go down to breakfast?
Yeah. It's called bougie. Duh. Yeah, okay. And then bougie. Fast forward to when Peppy's in the restaurant eating, and she's like, oh, the new frontier, whatever. The people interviewing her at the table. I'm like, oh my God, are they doing a podcast? Oh my God. Amazing.
The original podcast, Radio.
Radio.
We do have faces for radio.
Yep.
Bitch, I think we're really cute.
That's nice of you.
You're sweet.
I know.
Like, clean your glasses. Maybe you'll say different.
Wipe your screen. It's greasy.
Yeah, Steph's.
Some of the pizza.
A pizza. I'm in a
Give
pizza.
Give me the pizza.
So then later, what is the guy's name? Jean Dujardin?
No. George.
George. When George's wife leaves him, I love the note she leaves that she's like, first of all, she says 2 weeks. I would give him 2 days. Okay. 2 weeks is a long ass
time. She was going on holiday. She was like, I'm out of here.
Bye. I love that she called his stuff souvenirs. Like, get your souvenirs out of here. And the beauty spot shame. She's like, if you haven't seen Beauty Spot, you should. It's fantabulous or whatever she said.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Love that for her. Also, I was like, not me wanting a short haircut. Because Peppy looks so cute. This whole movie.
It's so cute. It's so cute. I loved when you had that little bob. I think it was adorable.
I don't think it looked good on me. I have too wide of a face. I look like...
You literally look fucking adorable. I have eyes. You look cute. On your fucking face.
It would be different this time because your hair is becoming more wavy instead of straight.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Although I always wanted like a little pixie cut, but like if I did it with curly hair, I would just fucking look like a... I don't know, like a... I, stupid. Just not.
I have too not much good. Chin for a pixie. Like,
what do you call it? The thing. I can see
the
it
thing
in my head.
It's a movie.
I don't
Pop
know.
It, out. Pop it, out.
It would just look dumb. Cause like if it like just I'm just trying to like. It's too curly to do this, and if
my
I
my mind it, went to a very weird place.
And if I cut it any shorter, it's going to get curlier, and then it just would not be stylable. It just wouldn't work. So, like, you
just
have
to shave it off. Just shave it off. It'll grow. Maybe it'll grow back different.
Have a pixie fro, man.
Too much. Oh, my God. That's too much. I can't.
Have a fro. You'd be like Ice Spice.
America, no. Y'all seen that video?
No? What is that?
the Barbie people are doing Vanity Fair, and they're like doing How Well Do You Know Me? And so Issa Rae's question says, which rapper would rap the theme song to My Life or whatever? And America Ferrera goes, oh, Ice Spice. And she goes, America, no. And I love that that clip is going to be used for actual, like,
America.
United States. America, yeah. No.
It should be used literally on a constant loop all the time. Forever.
So one more thing about the movie, because I feel like we're kind of done talking about it. We can go through the categories in a minute. But I think what's interesting about, and this will kind of go into what you were saying about it needing more story, is that apparently many silent film actors were immigrants with thick accents, which made the transition to talkies really hard for them. So the movie uses that narrative, casting Jean Dujardin, and at the end he says, "My pleasure," it's a very thick French accent. I think had they gone maybe that route, maybe showed the hardships of that transition, it would have been a better movie. I liked it, though. I didn't mind the simple story, just because he was clearly making a movie that could have been put out in the 1920s, similar to, and I never saw it, but so Jean Dujardin and Bérénice Bejou are stars of the director's movies in France, so they're really popular over there. And they're kind of like these spy, Man from U.N.C.L.E. type movies set in the 60s. And what they're highly regarded as, I forgot the name. I think it's OSS or OSS 115 or something like that. They're like a series of movies. And they're known for their attention to detail in presenting them as if they could have been made in the 60s. So we kind of brought that same mentality to The Artist, where this movie could have been made in the 1920s. So I guess for what he was doing, he did a good job, but I can see the simplicity of it and why it was a problem. And I think maybe someone should make a movie about that, the thick accents and the transitions of the immigrants not getting, all of a sudden not having jobs because they're just out of work and they don't know how to make a living. I think that would have been a much more interesting story, but that's not, this movie didn't want to get that serious, clearly. But that'd be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, I would love to see more of that. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot on the podcast that, like, stories that are not usually in the forefront, diverse stories, whether it be, like, racially, ethnically, gender, sexuality-wise, I think, in general, we just need to see more of that, and I think we are. I think there's just, like, so many stories left to tell, and there should be more opportunities to be able to see that and talk about it and have effort put into them, rather than just being like a footnote in a history book or just like you heard it from someone who heard it from somebody else.
So let's talk about the ending of this film. He goes, I'm just kidding, I'm not gonna kill myself, throws the gun. It goes off. She goes, trust me, and they run off together and they start tap dancing. So is that whole movie just them tap dancing, or is it a silent film with tap dancing at the end, or is it a talkie and they tap dance? Like,
I think it's a talk. Well, I mean, again, I'm writing the movie for you, but I think it's a talkie with dancing in it, kind of to implement him into the story, because she's like, because she tells the director, John Goodman, like, it's him or me. And I'm like, girl, that's not the best way to go about it. And she's like, oh, I'm just kidding. Him and me. Or nothing, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, kind of the bridge. It's like, it's right, a talkie, right. But he doesn't maybe talk. He just dances, I guess.
So he's just the arm candy that dances. I mean, good.
Yeah.
Men should be arm candy that dance. Yeah. Also, I'm just clarifying.
Speaking of eye candy, he's very handsome. Actually, they're both beautiful. Congrats to their faces.
Oh, yeah.
So handsome.
Even, like, pre-mole, she was looking really pretty.
He could get it.
I like the look. Yeah. Yeah, he has that very, it's very, you know, he reminds me of, like a that period's George Clooney, where he's, like, suave and charming and kind of, like, just a slightly bit, like, rugged, just a little, like, still, like, masculine, but just, like, in an approachable way. Very charming.
Isn't that the whole goal, is to remain like approachable yet unattainable?
Well, there we go. Thanks, Hollywood.
There it is. Yeah. Any last notes before going to categories? Oh, sorry, Joy. I'm taking over. Go ahead.
Oh, no. No, that was all. That was all I had left for that note. Is I'm not crying again.
Jesus Christ, what happened? Oh no.
What did you look at?
I went to Jean Desjardins' IMDb page to see like what he's been doing.
Oh no.
And for some fucking reason, there's a video with humpback whales.
Oh no.
And they're so fucking beautiful.
Again, this is the best episode we've ever recorded in our existence.
There's like a mom and all these. What is this movie? I can never watch it because I won't survive.
This is amazing.
It's just such beautiful footage. I'm distraught.
I love this for you.
Take a breather. Exit.
I scroll.
Minimize.
I think I want a tattoo of a whale.
Joy.
No, you're gonna make me. That's me.
Oh my god, is that why you love Joy so much, Anna?
I mean,
what animal am I?
Wait, didn't we do this? We did like a quiz or something.
And you and I both said whales. But it's because of my love for humpback whales. It's that quiz that, like, you say the animal, an item of clothing and something else. And the item of clothing means this and this means that.
Yeah.
The whale is how you see yourself and this is how others see you and this is what you really are. Something bullshit like that.
And I think you both picked whales, I think.
I don't remember.
No, you and I did.
We picked whales, yeah.
I
still picked elephant.
This poor man has had to play the character Jean like 500 times.
That's the only French name that exists.
It is, really. It's ridiculous.
Amazing.
So should we go
I wonder what's the record of playing the same named character. How many times? What's the record for that? I would. Like, that's a good.
The same character, different times, or the same.
The same name. Same name, for a role that you played. So
I played Anne in 5 different productions. That kind of thing.
Right. I don't know.
That's a great trivia. Let me find that out. I guess.
Google it.
I don't know how, but okay.
You know how to Google?
Shut the fuck up.
Joy does not. She wants you to send it to me.
Send it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through categories.
Okay, ready.
Best picture.
I like it, and I like it enough for it to be here, and especially since everything has been, or most of it has been pretty mid. I don't hate it. Should have won. I don't know. But it winning makes all the sense because it's about Hollywood. And we've talked a million times how Hollywood loves itself to a fault. So I'm not surprised it won. I don't hate that it won, but I don't think it was the best picture. Yeah. At least. Anyone else?
Anna?
I'm fine with it being here because it's this year, you know?
Yeah.
Any other year, I'm sure I would also agree with it being there, but it's fine.
Yeah, Joy? it's good. It's enjoyable. It's better than some of the other stuff that we've seen. It's not, again, not the greatest movie ever. Nothing like super, super innovative, but it's still good. And so I'll give it that. Best actor, Jean Dujardin.
Yeah, I think it did a great job. I think he should be here.
I agree. Yeah. And I like him here.
Should he have won? So it's Damian Bashir for A Better Life, George Clooney, the Descendants, Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, and Brad Pitt for Moneyball.
Of those, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I didn't watch the Damian Bashir one, but I remember the talk of that was pretty intense.
How I think it is?
What?
I don't know how to describe him. If I just I'm gonna look. Sound like every other man.
He's like Spanish and something else, right? He's like two nationalities.
Yeah. It's him. That's who I'm thinking of.
What is his nationality? Where's he from?
Born in Mexico City.
Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Daniel Brühl, who is Spanish and like French or something.
German?
Look, y'all, he was in Weeds for a while. And he was so goddamn sexy in that show. Oh my God. He played like a drug cartel boss or whatever, and
podcast.
He was bad, but he was so good.
Oh my God, that was like Diego Luna in Narcos. Oh,
listen, ooh, I know. I don't like pushing the narrative that Mexicans, all Mexicans, do drugs, but in this particular case,
it's a girl.
Like, do more drugs.
While he was longer,
that show was very violent, and it took a lot to watch. But he's the only reason Joy and I made it through.
Yeah.
The only
literally
reason.
Guy candy was it. That was it.
Okay, next one.
Okay, best director, who he was up against?
Alexander Payne for The Descendants, Martin Scorsese, Hugo, Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris, Terrence Malick, The Tree of Life.
I would have gone for Terrence Malick, personally.
Agreed.
Like, he did a really good job directing this because it takes a lot to try to put this together with this kind of, like, aesthetic and stylistically and all the other elements.
I would also make a case for Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
I think it should have gone to Woody Allen.
Bitch, get out.
Fuck off.
She's throwing me away.
I agree this time.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think Scorsese should be in the conversation. Terrence Malick, obviously. And I guess Havanavishus. Have a Navi shoes.
Next category, Joy
was like, I don't know how to pronounce it. I go, Crystal does, and it sounds like shoes.
I do. I purposely learned when the movie came out because I was like, this. His name is nice. It's fun to say because there's a lot of like things to chew on. So
mm-hmm.
I remember looking it up. I remember looking up all their names: Bernice Bechu and Jean Dujardin. Michel Havanichus. Anyways.
I like it.
It sounds good. Best costume design, Mark Bridges was up against whom? Oh, sorry.
Where's your list, Joy?
Anonymous, which I don't know what that is. Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E.
Well, we know Jane Eyre is great because it's a period piece. And man, she looked basic and dusty in those clothes. So that works. And Michael Fassbender looked like nice and put together, and you could the tweed and the all of it. This was still good though, because like I really like the like high-waisted trousers and suspenders that he wore at one point. I think when he was leaving her house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was nice. I think the silhouettes and the cuts of the suits and the suits in particular, at least to my knowledge of era fashion. Were accurate to that period. So I do think they were done well. It was good.
She has spoken.
Agreed. Co-sign.
Okay. Best original score.
It was
100%.
Sorry. I'm in a different order, so I'm like going back and forth.
I know. Okay. Me too.
So it's The Artist, The Adventures of Tintin, Hugo, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and War Horse. And I agree that it should have it won. I agree with it winning. Sorry, I don't know how to say words. Just listening to the soundtrack itself, isolated from the movie, it made me like the movie more. Because the layers, the textures and the sounds. There's a lot of, okay, I'm going to be a real big nerd here. There's so much clarinet, and clarinet has a really good way of, I still want to do this, has a really good way of sounding like so many different things. Like, you play it low and slow, it can sound very, like, very melancholy, but you can play it a little high and fast, sounds very, like, jovial and like a cartoon. So there's a lot of that there.
You sound like Tony waxing poetic about Maria.
Maria.
Say it soft and it's almost like
the one from the 60s, not this new one with the wet blanket that is whatever his name.
Blanket, that bitch.
Anyways, yeah, so I love a lot of use of that. Also, like, in the soundtrack there is, like, pure piano, which is good, and then they changed the sound to make it sound like 1920s, like, radio music playing. Very good stuff. So, yeah, I think I said this before, and I love scores with character, and this had all the character. And as much as I love the Tree of Life's music and how sweeping and gorgeous it was, the winner to me is The Artist Hands Down.
Yeah.
She quick has notes.
Been. Yeah, go ahead.
I haven't seen it since 2011. So when I was 18 years old, I thought Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was boring as shit. But goddamn, does it have a fun name?
Yeah, I love saying
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
It's fun. It's like a tongue twister. It's like those things they make you say, like, before theater, like seashells by the seashore, or whatever the hell. Yeah.
Tally.
Seashells by the seashore. Those are fun. So yeah, next one.
Go ahead. Unique New York. Unique New York.
Unique.
You know you love Unique New York.
Are you doing your scales?
I am now.
All right, go ahead. Joy.
Best supporting actress for Bernice Baker.
I think she was good. Let's see. So she was up against Octavia Spencer for The Help, Jessica Chastain, The Help, Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids, and Janet McTeer for Albert Nobbs.
I actually just rewatched Bridesmaids in preparation for this.
What did you think?
It wasn't as funny as I thought back then.
I need to rewatch it now. Damn it. I think I can do it.
I was kind of bummed. Although I still, like, Melissa McCarthy is, I think, Melissa McCarthy and Rose Byrne are, like, the best parts of that, because Rose Byrne is really annoying in how funny she is, and it's stupid, and, like, Melissa McCarthy is, like, how funny and annoying she is, but, like, in an entertaining way, because, like, I feel like my most obnoxious self is probably close to how Melissa McCarthy acts in this movie.
I feel like I'm Melissa McCarthy when I'm drunk.
That's next season, guys. Just wait.
But I found her super annoying, and I couldn't stand her. And I love Melissa McCarthy. I've loved her, and I think she's hilarious. And I think she's able to do more subtle comedy really well. And the over the top was just not my thing.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, it was kind of like a turn of events of, like, oh my god, women can be funny. Because it was written by Kristen Wiig. It was like a women-led film. It was the first time, like, people were, like, aware of the comedy that is women. So, like, that's a lot to do with it. Because it was a moment for that movie. I don't think she should be here nominated, Melissa McCarthy. Even when I watched the movie, I was like, okay, fine. I think the better pairing is Spy. Also has Rose Byrne and Melissa McCarthy. I think
Allison Janney.
That movie is so good. Why didn't it make, like, three sequels? I don't know.
And but,
like,
Miranda.
Bridesmaids was a good, like, appetizer to, like, introduce you to these people, and then where they took off is Spy to me. So I don't know, and maybe, like, Kristen Wiig was, like, holding it down. I don't know, because anyways, whatever. I haven't seen the movie since it came out. Maybe I'll rewatch it.
Rose Byrne coming out as hilarious after, like, her first big thing was Damages, a super drama.
With Glenn Close, right?
Mm-hmm. Close. Which, my God, if you try to watch it, the quality is shit.
Really?
Like, the story is great. The story and the acting, I'm talking about, like, the actual camera quality. Like, it's made to look like gritty.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it's damaged. Just look,
yeah, it just looks gross.
I mean, all I hear when I hear that is, do you have a first aid kit handy? Do you know how to
are you patient? I understand.
My heart is damaged. I thought that I should let you know that my heart is damaged. So damaged.
And I immediately go to, what's your damage, Heather?
Can you fix my H-E-A-R-T? Cause it's D-A-M-G-E. And Robbie, she knows how to spell. Hooked on phonics, who?
I love it. I will always know how to spell banana.
Yeah, yeah, and fabulous. That and is. Delicious and tasty, all the important words. Stupid. I love it. What was the question? Oh, best actress supporting actress. Barony Spaceship. Yeah, girl. Go ahead. Go off. You didn't win. That's fine. Anyways.
That's fine. She was so great. She was so great.
She's so pretty. And then she's actually married to Michelle Havanichus.
Oh, cute.
Adorable. We love a little nepotism in the bedroom.
You know what's funny about that? Like, because celebrities still, like, nepo babies still get all bent out of shape about being called nepo babies. Just own it. Just be like, yes, I'm thankful that I was born into this business, and I'll do my best to continue to earn that title. Oh. Why be like, I don't want to talk about it. Let's not talk about nepo babies. That's what you are. Anyways. I just saw this. Anyways,
best original screenplay. No, throw it out the window.
I'd say no, because what was there? Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen like
30 movies like this.
Yeah. Again, I think it plays back into what Anna was saying.
The novelty of it.
The novelty, the nicheness. Is that a word? Nicheness of it being silent. Not that these two movies are the same, because they're not completely different, but it reminds me of when we talked about Boyhood and how that story was super simple, that if it did not have the gimmick of being filmed over 1,000 years, it wouldn't have been as good. Or to the Academy, I didn't think it was good. So same with this. I feel like screenplay was like, meh.
They're just trying to fill a slot.
But it didn't win. Midnight in Paris won.
Meh.
The nominees were Midnight in Paris, The Artist, Bridesmaids, Margin Call, and A Separation.
A Separation should have won, and I haven't even seen it.
Me too! Same, agree.
Go sign, yeah.
best film editing.
We're notorious for knowing all about editing, so I'm going to say sure.
I think at this point we've learned a little more. We are not going to make a completely blind guess.
True. No,
semi-slightly somewhat educated guess. Who was it up again?
It was you have a lot of faith in me.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Descendants, Hugo.
Your mom?
Ball. Shut up. And the one that won was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I really got to go. This is bad. This is our longest episode of the season, and it's like a third of it is spent on the movie.
We're almost done, babes. I need you to be strong, okay?
We're so close.
You got it. Take a breath. Put your mic on mute, okay? Take a breath.
Editing was good, but other editing was better. Best cinematography.
Joy?
I said what I said. Cool, it's in here. No, it shouldn't have won. Should be Tree of Life.
I think I have to remember, too, that like, because we are so lucky to have seen those better cinematography movies you've seen, like, later on. This was 2011, 2010, so this they hadn't like seen those yet.
Yeah,
so maybe at the time it was the best cinematography.
Yeah, that's fair.
But even in this category, it's not the best one.
Tree of Life is right there. Hugo's right there.
Even War Horse.
Even the Horses of War. Like, that was great.
The Horses of Warren. Is that a way to... Is that right?
Yeah. That one.
Did you just call the war horse a whore?
I said, are the horses warring? Are they Diane Warren?
The horses of war.
Are they Diane Warren? Anyways, keep going. Next one.
Just an image of Diane Warren acting like a horse.
I need Diane Warren to dress up as a war horse for Christmas.
I know.
For Halloween.
We're going off topic again, but hold on. Have y'all seen that clip of Kate Beckinsale talking about how she loves to dress up as a pantomime horse?
What?
It is her comfort thing. She travels with a costume all the time. It is one of those horse suits that two people, like someone has to be the butt and someone's the head. That is how she relaxes, and it is her favorite thing in the world.
You know what? I think we overall know too much about each other, just in general.
Pretty people are weird too.
Like,
some people should just have secrets, you know?
Like, if you're thinking, should I say this? Don't.
She does not have a strong enough PR team.
Look up that clip. She was on Graham Norton.
I love Graham. I believe that. Graham Norton getting anything out of anybody. I love him.
Yeah.
Last category, production design.
Production design. It was against Hugo, Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 2, Midnight in Paris, and War Horse. Hugo won that award.
Yeah, I'd give it to Hugo, but this was really good as well. I mean, just the time, effort, and skill it takes to kind of, like, put these set pieces together. Because the sets, it wasn't, like, you know, super grand sets, but, like, it's enough that you have to, this is still quite a bit of work.
I forgot to mention this earlier. Like, I liked the shot of them talking on the stairs and how everything is, like, moving around them. And it's like,
yes.
it's the wide shot and they're in the middle.
That
and it's
was just beautiful.
Like, it kind of reminded me of that. And I don't know my art, I'm sorry. But it reminds me of that, like, I guess it's like a painting or something where like the stairs are going all directions. And like kind
MC
of like,
Escher.
Yeah. I don't know if that was their intention, but it's immediately what I thought of. Just the way it's framed is really nice. So I thought that was cool. But
yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Cute.
Is that it?
That is all. That is the end.
One more thing.
Oh, shit. Sorry. My bad. Oh, yeah. Rankings. All right. Not it.
Oh, not it? Okay. I will go.
Yay. Go.
So, number 9. I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry. 9 is Moneyball. 8 is Midnight in Paris. 7 is The Descendants. 6 is Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. 5 is The Help. I'm doing on the spot, clearly. 4 is War Horse. And this 3 is where I have the artist. 2 is Hugo. 1 is Tree of Life.
Interesting.
Ours are exactly the same except the bottom 2.
Oh, my God.
Wow, really?
At the bottom, I have Midnight in Paris because fuck Woody Allen. 8, I have Moneyball. 7, The Descendants. 6, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Then The Help, War Horse. And 3, The Artist. 2, Hugo. And 3, War
Horse of War.
1, Tree of Life. But I also wrote a note by my ranking. I was so unemotionally invested in any of the movies this season. I didn't feel connected to anything. I do not care for any of them in any great deal. So I feel like this ranking is pretty trivial. Tree of Life won purely for visuals. And as someone who loves story and storytelling, I felt like I was left wanting this season. So I was not impressed across the board. So this, like I said, this ranking feels arbitrary.
Yeah, like flop season for sure.
Ooh, damn.
Like, and I love Tree of Life, and I loved how like pretentious it was, but I totally agree with the flop nature of all this.
Yeah. Okay, Yui.
All right. Mine is not at all like you guys.
Oh, we love it.
Oh, interesting.
I hate it. Change.
I almost did. I felt pressure to, but then I left it like that. So I will not give in to peer pressure.
Not this time.
Not today.
Wait till tomorrow.
I'll take the shots tomorrow. At the bottom is extremely loud and incredibly close. I really wanted to move it up higher. I could not. That's just how I feel. It just, it's not getting any higher than that. Then Midnight in Paris, because yeah, Woody Allen, trash, trash, trash. It could have been so much better than it was. And how dare you give me art and then give me shit. That's rude. Then next is Moneyball, Brad Pitt, fine, whatever. Okay, baseball. Nice editing, some cool shots. Then The Descendants, it kept me interested. I like a novella. I like some it's not family drama when it's not about me. George Clooney is nice to look at. So cool. All right. Shailene Woodley didn't suck it up. So nice. Hugo, Martin Scorsese, he knows what the fuck he's doing. Visually, fantastic. Asa Butterfield, is that his name?
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Love him. Chloe Grace Moretz. Whatever she said. Her accent was not bad, so I'll take it. Number four is The Help. I'm sorry, but I really love Viola Davis, so it's not getting any lower than four. She's great. She elevates it. I'm doing it for her and for Octavia Spencer, and a little bit for Jessica Chastain.
And Allison Janney.
Oh yeah, and the floppy wig that lives on Emma Stone's head. Number three is The Artiste, because while it has technical achievements, the story is slacking, but it's still good. So, you know, whatever. Then The Horses of War, just because, you know, the look of Joey turning back around, giving emotion, and the cinematography and the fact that it was a war movie that I could get through. Incredible. But number one is Tree of Life. I ascended. I had you know, revelations. I saw the face of God, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Even for it being like a, for half of it being like a fairly straightforward story, still good, still good. And I need to see more Terrence Malick because I think I get it now. So, yay.
Love that. To love another person is to see the face of God.
Tears. I love that line. So, y'all, guess what just happened?
Oh my God, we fucking
just finished the season. We're done. The mid is over. Well, hopefully, because next season's gonna be popping. I'm excited,
girl. Next season is gonna be so competitive.
I am so excited.
I can't wait for all of our lists to be all over the place.
Yeah, for real, it's gonna be good. So yeah, we'll do that sometime. You'll see us. Probably before the end of the year, for sure.
Yeah, before the end of the year.
But yeah, I guess that's it. Have a nice summer, everybody.
Yeah. Put some sunblock on. Stay inside.
Stay inside? Oh, it's hot, yeah.
It's 110.
Drink a lot of water.
I'm going from like 75, 80 degrees to fucking 105. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're going to fucking Houston. That's your fault. Yeah, get ready to start cooking. You're going to be cook. Woo! She's cooking.
Fry me up.
Yeah, you're going to be. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, PSA for today is drink water. And if you don't think you have enough, you don't. It's not. I promise.
Just drink more.
Water, 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 water. That's the PSA.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.